It's called Patient and Passionate Prayer. Patient and Passionate Prayer. And we're going to more or less stay in one place in your Bible. So go to James chapter 5, and we're going to start with verse 7. And we're going to unpack it. Okay, sometimes I like to just take one scripture and unpack it because I feel that James... actually, it's one of my most awesome... every book is awesome. I start talking about one particular book, and I'm like, wow, this is the best book in the Bible. And next, But James was the brother of Jesus. He was his, half-brother. My brother by same mother. Different daddy. And he was a preaching, prophesying machine. And you get this out of James. And he was the pastor of the Jewish church in Jerusalem. And he wrote this letter to the Jewish people that were scattered abroad the earth that were Christians. And he wrote this amazing passage. And there's a lot in James that is awesome. But I want to just take these last few verses of the letter. So we're going to look at verse 7, and we're going to finish the letter. So at verse 7, I'm reading in the ESV, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth." And I'm going to hold this a little closer, so you might have turned it down. "Being patient about it until he receives the early and the latter rains," the late rain. "You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Don't grumble against each other, brothers and sisters." By the way, when he says brothers, he means brothers and sisters, okay? We're obsessed about gender right now in America, and they weren't obsessed back then. They would say man, and that meant man and woman, okay? They weren't so crazy about it as we are today, so don't get uptight when you hear things like that. Most of the time, he means both. "As an example of suffering and patience, the judge is standing at the door." Excuse me. "Don't grumble so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job. You have seen the purpose of the Lord and how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear." Now, that means make an oath, okay? It doesn't mean cuss. Okay? Don't cuss either. Okay? But it means don't swear, like don't take an oath. And I'm going to explain all this. "Either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no." King James, "yea be yea and nay be nay." Sounds like a horse to me when you do that. "So that you may not fall under condemnation. Is there anyone suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him praise. If anyone is sick, call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who's sick, and the Lord will raise him up." Praise God. "And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you all may be healed." Amen. Got an amen? Thank you. Another amen? How about a third amen? Praise God. That's good. Do it. "The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working," or availeth much. Mucheth. "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, guess what? It did not rain in that earth or the land. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Now, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Amen. Can we say praise God right now? Praise God. That's good. Okay, y'all sat through how many verses? Sat through 13 verses. That's good. Y'all did very, very well. Okay, now I want to talk to you about this passage right here. And the first thing I want to tell you is that right here, James gives you two different ways to pray. I want you to say there's two different ways. I'm going to pray like a farmer, or I'm going to pray like a prophet. All right, so what's the first way to pray like? A farmer. Everybody say farmer. Y'all know what a farmer is, right? And the second one is to pray like a what? A prophet. Okay? As we know, who is the prophet? Elijah. We don't know the farmer's name, but we can call him Farmer Joe. Whatever farmer name we're talking about. But there are two different kinds of way to pray that James talks about in this passage. And I want to go through the kinds of way. One is patient prayer, and the other is passionate prayer. The farmer prays patient prayers. The prophet prays passionate prayers. Now, both are really passionate, except farmers don't show a lot of passion. How many of you know farmers that are like really wild and crazy? I don't know any. You do? Because when I hang around most farmers, they're kind of like, well, I guess I got to go out and, you know, go take care of this. I think we need more fertilizer here. I mean, most farmers that I've known are not like, hey, when you do that, they're not like that at all. That's usually like salesmen, right? Traveling salesmen, someone who wants to sell you a cemetery plot, or someone that wants to sell you a vacuum cleaner. They talk really fast, right? And they're like this and excitable. But when you talk to farmers, they're kind of like, okay, I've got about 40 acres here that am I right? Yeah. All right. So we got to understand there's two different ways to pray. One is patient and one is passionate. And really, one just shows more passion than the other. Now, we need to know this because we are living in the last days. Right. We are living in the last days. Stuff is happening. I want to tell you something right now that's amazing. That's amazing. Okay. Do you know that this year is the year that Israel is celebrating its 70th anniversary of being a nation? Did you know that? 70 years, a very, very important number in the kingdom of God. 70 years, a miracle happened in 1948. A nation was born in a day. A nation that nobody thought would ever exist again just happened in one day, and we call it Israel, and it's been 70 years. And do you know that they have a commemorative coin, and I don't have a picture of it, but you could probably find it on the internet. Those of you just look in your phones, but don't look too long, okay? I want you to listen to me after a while. If you go and look at the commemorative coin for it, it turns out that it is a picture of President Trump, part of that celebration, because we're moving our embassy to Israel, to Jerusalem, this year. And on the same coin with President Trump, you'll never guess who it is, King Cyrus, because, come on now, Isaiah 45, and Trump is president number... So this isn't some kind of Christian thing. This is Israel doing it. Yeah. Yeah, so they're like going, wow, this is awesome. I mean, he's like, he just took a step and did something. And I don't want to go there too much. We can really go there. That's just an amazing thing. So we are living in the last days, and God wants to give us passionate prayer so that the heavens will open and it will rain. Now, rain in the Bible refers to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't just mean precipitation coming out of the sky. So I want to unpack this for you because it says, therefore, be patient until the coming of the Lord. And I want to call this long-winded prayer. Now, I don't mean it like the way it sounds, okay? Long-winded prayer. Okay, that word patient has its roots in a word that describes a runner running a long-distance race. And when you run a long-distance race, you get into a breathing pattern. And that's what it's saying. A long-winded runner gets a long-winded race, and they get into this patient breathing pattern that is not super fast, right? Right? Anybody here run? Josh, you run, right? But not lately, okay? But if you run and do cardio, there's a kind of breathing you do when you do cardio, and there's a different kind of breathing when you sprint.
It's called with breath, anaerobic.
Anaerobic breathing. So there's a long-winded breathing, and I'm not talking about people that can't shut up when they talk to you. Now, you need patience for that, too. But I'm not talking about that kind of patience in a prayer meeting, okay? When somebody don't take a breath and you can't get a word in edgewise. Okay? We're not talking about that kind of long-winded. We're talking about praying in such a way that you know you're in it for the long haul. Come on now, somebody say amen. I know that I'm praying right now, but I'm running the race, and I'm not going to slow down, and I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to be distracted. I'm in a breathing pattern. How many of you know the breath and the Holy Spirit are the same word, breath and spirit? My spirit has got me in this race for the long run, and it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I am praying in a way that I know that I'm going to hit the finish line, and I'm going to have what God said for me, but I know there may be a few more steps along the way, and I might have to take a few more breaths along the way, so I'm not going to run as hard as I have to run. I know I'm going to run to finish. Come on now. Come on now. Y'all would be jumping up and running around right now. Come on. God is good. And we need patient prayer. Long-winded prayer. Not make everybody else patient, but you. Got it? God, we've been talking about that in a prayer meeting, right, Ronnie? We've been talking about not to be long-winded like making everybody else be patient, except for you. Now, we got to learn that. Same thing for preachers. Is it good for preachers too, Ronnie? I think it's good for preachers, too. I don't want to be that angel that preaches the everlasting gospel. Come on. There's only one angel that does that. Wait a minute. We got to watch it when we talk about angels around here. Okay. No angel jokes. All right. Now, here we go. So, the farmer waits, and Elijah prays, but the farmer waits with long-winded prayer. The reason why the farmer waits is because he has done everything that needs to be done. Amen. You have to understand this kind of faith. The faith for patient prayer is a faith that says, I've tilled my soil. Come on now. I've made my rows. I planted my seed, and I know it's going to grow. I've done everything that I could do because there's one who did everything that I couldn't do. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to hurry. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to run around like a chicken with my head cut off. I'm going to stand on what Jesus has done for me. I'm going to stand on what His Word said about me. I know it's going to happen because everything that has been done has been done. And now it's a matter of running the race and claiming my prize. All I got to do is finish. Come on, praise God. We got to keep running and praying and not giving up. Amen. And that's an act of faith. Amen. And not getting off to the side here or just saying, wait a second, you know, I'm just going to stop running. No, you're going to make it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to finish this race. Come on now. You're going to do that farmer kind of praying. Now, the reason why the farmer prays that kind of prayer is because He can't control what when the rain comes. I don't care what you see on the internet. Nobody can do that. Only God sends the rain. And it's kind of hard for us to get that, what the rain is really like in Israel, because there's only two periods of rain in that country. Did you know that? It is not like America. It is not like where we've grown up. They only have two kinds of rain, the rain in the springtime, the planting rain, and then they have the rain in the harvest time. And the rain in the harvest time comes like, you know, in October or whatever, and the planting rain comes towards the spring. And in between that time, it hardly ever rains. And that's okay. That's all right. Because that climate is different from our climate. So for us, we do not have a rainy season. For us, we have rain. It just rains. Sometimes it rains and sometimes it doesn't. There's no rainy season in Martinsville. And there's nobody in some kind of computer system up in the North Pole controlling it, okay? I just forget what you read on the internet. It ain't happening, okay? God sends the rain. God sends the rain. And the farmer knows, I can't control the rain. You know what, folks? There's some things you can't control in this world. Amen. Don't fall out of your chair when I say that. Because some people are real control freaks. They think they can control everything in their life. Guess what? You can't control what happens in your life. There are some things, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, it ain't going to happen. And there's some things that you say whatever you want that are going to happen that you can't stop. Come on now. Come on now. You better accept the truth. There's some things you can't control in this world. Amen. There's only one God on the throne. And it ain't you. Amen. And the farmer knows that. He did everything he could do. And the rest is up to. Because he knows that God's a whole lot smarter than he is. Come on, say amen. Amen. And he's a whole lot more powerful than he is. And he's a whole lot more wise than you are. And God's a whole lot more loving than you are. Because if I was controlling the lightning control in heaven, guess what? A lot more people would have been fried, right? Come on now. You remember Jim Carrey movie. Come on, you saw it, right? Yeah. A lot more crispy critters out there if we were controlling the lightning button. Come on now. Yeah, it's true. It's true. So we know that only rain produces fruit. There's no in between the early rain and the latter rain. That messes our heads up. I want you to be able to conceive that. There are times when you make a prayer and make a commitment and you will not see the fruit of it until the end of the race.
Amen. That's right.
Come on. Amen. Get it, folks. We need to get this. Some things we will not get until the harvest. It's till God sends the rain. You won't get it. I'm telling you, there are things about this church that are not going to happen until God sends the rain.
That's right, amen.
I've heard it. How many times have you heard it? So am I living a stressed out life? Wait a minute. Why isn't this church doing it? Why are we doing it? Why are we happening? What's going on here? The rain hasn't come yet, folks.
That's right, amen.
And that's all right. I'm not going to beat myself up until the rain hasn't come. What do you think? I control the rain? I can't make people get saved. I can't make God's rain and revival. I can't make it happen. You see what I'm saying? I don't send the rain. But when the rain comes, you better be ready. I'll never forget when God rolled in here in a rain cloud on March 17, 2000. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, no, please, we're not ready for the rain. He said, I don't care. It wasn't your choice. It wasn't your idea for it to come. And it ain't going to be your idea for it to go. Come on now. Come on. We think, you know, there's some things God says it's going to happen and you may not even know about it. And that's too bad. So get over it. And the rain came and God showed up and man, things started happening. And we were like, what's going on? I'm like holding on for dear life. Like I was on some kind of gigantic roller coaster. Whoa. And God was there, man. People are getting healed and set free and visions and angels everywhere. I mean, there was stuff happening. And we just like, hold on, baby, because God is here and you better just hang with the Lord. And that's the way it is when the rain comes. When the rain comes, the farmer can't say, wait a minute, I haven't planted. I wanted to plant out of the field. Too bad, buddy. Here it is. You're done. Get back in the house, boy. Just the way it is. Have you scramble when the rain comes? I was scrambling the other day. I had a bunch of windows open, tools outside, rain. I see that rain cloud come. I was like, oh boy, better hurry. Right? First thing you do, whoo, just run around, put things inside quick, get it out of the rain. I had a sack of concrete sitting outside. Boy, I got that in there. That was the first thing I put in. Right? Yeah, exactly. I would have had a nice big, block. Yeah. That's right. Now, let me tell you something. The nature of the rain is that it's very near, right? The clouds are close, right? But you never know when it's actually going to start. You know it's soon. It's like, oh, boy, I see black cloud. Comes from usually that way. That's the northwest. That's where they come from. Sometimes they come from the south this way. Most of the time they come from here across the mountains. So I'm like, oh, black cloud coming. It's coming soon. But you know what? You could see a black cloud, it'll just go right over you. No rain. But then when you see it coming, you get yourself ready. You know what's going to happen. And then, boom, suddenly. God has been saying over and over and over again, when I come, it's going to be suddenly. You will not be feeling like you're ready. Don't, it's going to happen. One day we'll be here in church. I'm telling you, we've been here before. One day you're going to be in church, and the next time you're going to be in church, and then boom. It's like, I can't go. I'm here. I'm serious. God's here. And if I try to leave, there are people that tried to walk out of the room that couldn't. They would fall, meet an angel back there, and boom, hit the ground. And these were like people didn't talk about angels all the time. That's because, they saw them for the first time in their lives. There was a pile up right over there. No one said to you, oh, you're going to fall down when you go back. No, that didn't happen. They just were like walking out. Then another one. Did I say it? No. Did I think it? No. Did I plan it? No. It just happened. It just happened. People got healed. People got healed just because they walked in the room. People got filled with the Holy Spirit, just walking in the room, no one laid hands on them. I mean, stuff like this happens when the rain falls. When the rain falls, don't trade it. I mean, you're a leader. You're supposed to control. This is your church. You should know what happens going in the service. You're responsible. Guess what? You ain't. It's like, okay, God, you're in charge. All right, whatever you want, I'll just flow with. And you do. And that's what needs to happen. You try to do what you can, but you don't want to stop it because so many people are getting blessed and it's like boom here, this here. Maybe, just people, like what Marilyn Higgins told a story. She's like there with all these Pakistani people there for this revival meeting. She just goes like this. And then the whole audience, boom, on the ground, just one wave. One wave. You can't make that stuff up and you can't make it happen. God does it. When he does it, it's suddenly. And when the suddenly happens, then you got to be ready to what God for God to use you. And he will use you. Praise God. Okay. So, wow. Notice that your hearts are going to be established. Established. Hearts are going to be established. There's something about your heart that needs the blessing of waiting. Something about inside of you that will be changed when you wait on God and do the patient praying. Patient praying will deal with what's inside of you. Just watch how a young child reacts when you make them wait. Just watch. When they want something and you say, no, you got to wait. Just watch what they do. Well, we're the same way. We are exactly the same way with God. But God, you said, I want this. I want patience and I want it now. The other thing that happens It says, don't grumble against one another. Now he's talking about Christians, and Christians grumble. Now, non-Christians are loud and they swear, they just let it all hang out. But Christians kind of like, because they're trying to act holy on the other side. You see what I'm saying? They're trying to look good. They're in church. So when they're actually complaining, they do it like that. Okay, whereas most people are just like, oh, they let it fly with exclamation points. And if you read it on the internet, it's all caps, right? All caps. Christians don't do all caps. We kind of like, you know, that's the murmuring, grumbling. And what patience will do, God will start getting at your mouth. Now, James says that no man can tame your tongue. You can't do it. No man can do it. The only man that can tame your tongue is Jesus. The only way you can stop grumbling is to say, Holy Spirit, take over my tongue. Take it over. And I'm going to shut up until you tell me to talk. We've been reading Proverbs. And one thing we learned from Proverbs, you read Proverbs, after a while you will learn it is much wiser to keep your mouth shut than to open it and remove all doubt. It's better to think that people think you're an idiot than to open your mouth and prove that you're an idiot. Okay? It's better for people to think it than to know it. And don't help them know it. So you keep your mouth shut and you speak when God tells you to speak. You just really learn to be still before the Lord. And God wants to give us a tame tongue. Turn to your neighbor and say that. God wants to tame your tongue because you can't do it. Now I want to talk about oaths real quick. Oaths. I want to talk about this. He says, look at verse 12. But above all, do not swear either by heaven or earth by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, that you may not fall under condemnation. Okay. The reason why we should not take an oath is because oaths put us in the place of being in control. And we can't control things. We don't. Now, you can't. Jesus said in Matthew 5, he said, you can't even get your hair color right. Okay? You can't control things. Don't swear. Don't make an oath. By golly, this is going to happen. Guess what? You can walk out today. God can take you to heaven. Today, just out that door right now. You can't control life like you think you do. So you better not say, and I want you to know something. If you look at the lifestyles of the rich and famous have hired people to keep them on a very rigid schedule. Did you know that? I mean, they've got someone with a little book and they've got every minute scheduled in their life because there's something about wealth that feeds arrogance, that makes you think that you can control every minute of your day. Guess what? God can tell you it's time to go. God can tell you something can happen. I mean, think about people where that volcano eruption was in Hawaii. One day, they're there, and one day, volcano, the ground that you were on, is lava. Just like that. Who's going to stop a lava flow? There's a picture. I'll freaking never forget that picture. There's this big lava, and there's a guy like you're actually going to stop the lava flow. Like nobody can stop a lava flow.
Maybe he's rebuking it in Jesus.
I don't know. Yeah. It's like okay, guy. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, go ahead. You know, just stop it. No, you're not going to stop the lava flow. So don't make an oath.
If it's coming at you, we're trying.
Just get out of there. Yeah, just move. Yeah, right. But you know what I'm saying? It's like. So don't be so tight-fisted with your schedule. We joke about it. Mary and I, it's like a joke. Because we're like, we sit down in the morning and we kind of plan our day. And then at the end of the day, we go, oh, this is what we thought we were going to do. And this is what we did. One, the other. Dude, they are really different. They are really different. Why? Because we made a covenant with God many years ago. God, we'll do whatever you want us to do. And you can't control it. And if you think that you could set your schedule and all you do is what you think you're going to do, you're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. And the Lord said, So you really think you've got everything under your control, right? You know, like he started dealing with my attitude. He started dealing with me thinking, you know what? You've got to learn. You've got to learn. You've got to learn that when you start a meeting here in this place and you come up with four songs and you do the first song and it's like, no, we're not doing the second song. You better do what God tells you to do. Don't you be a hard-headed person. Don't you be hard-headed and say, well, I'm going to do my list because that's what I practiced and that's what I gave Jan and that's what I said I was going to do. And we really practiced this song. And by golly, we're going to do these songs. And then the presence of the Lord goes, bye-bye. God says, sure, you're going to have a nice service. Oh, it'll be really together. Yeah. Oh, yeah, be really together. And then everybody want to come to your church because everything is together. Come on. Biggest move of God happened to me one time when God said, get under the piano and lay down there. You're not preaching tonight. I got witnesses. This happened in Lancaster, PA. I say, Lord, I do not want to do this. Yes, you are. Okay. Or sometimes he doesn't tell you, yes, you are. You just hear the silence. The crickets. God, I don't want to do this. And you don't hear anything. All right, Lord. So I just told the pastor, I said, look, God told me to get under the piano and intercede. Just whatever. I got under there, and all of a sudden, boom, presence of God comes. Ah! Everybody starts screaming, preaching, presence of God, blah, blah, blah. All this stuff happens. Made me really look good, right? Where's Pastor John? He's the one that was under the piano. Remember that a couple years ago? Yeah, I'm laughing. He's great, man. God had his way. Amen. Come on now. I'm talking to you right now, okay? I'm not just preaching notes. I'm telling you my life. If God tells you to do something, you better do it. Amen. And don't think you got it all together. Don't think you can plan your life until X is Y, Z. Well, you know, 27 and a half years from now, I'm going to be doing this in the month of May. There are people that live this way. There are books you can buy to make you live this way. Come on. People make lots of money over stuff like this. How about doing what God tells you to do? How about saying, Holy Spirit, you got me, whatever you want. That's it. Next. Next. And then do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Okay. Now I'm going to talk about the difference. Now we're going to shift over now into the other kind of praying, prophet praying. Okay. Now I want to give you an analogy of the difference between fighting a battle with a sword and fighting a battle with an arrow. Okay? How many of you shot an arrow? Cool. How many of you can control the arrow once you shoot it? No. No. It's not a cruise missile. Okay. Now, a sword, you can control because it never leaves your hand. That's a prayer of the Word of God, that God gives you His Word, and He can trust you with the sword because it's His Word, not yours. That's the sword of the Spirit. So the sword of the Spirit is when God tells you, pray this word and use it, and it's for close combat. So pray the word. Pray the word. Why? You don't have to figure it out because it's been revealed to you. You've got it. It's in your Bible. Pray it. It's a sword that the Holy Spirit will use with you for close combat. Now, the Roman sword was a short sword. It was not a long sword. That's why they were so awesome with swords, because they were able to get in places and then just take their guys out. I mean, you know. Now, the arrow, on the other hand, is that patient prayer, because once you release that arrow, it's going to take time for it to hit its target. As a matter of fact, you won't know until it happens. So there's a period of time between when you release the prayer and when you see the results of the prayer. So sometimes we're going to do sword prayers, which we see the results right away. Get up, be healed. Sword prayer. Boom. Devil's defeated. Right? Arrow prayer. In Jesus' name, so-and-so is going to be healed. And then a day passes. No answer. Another day passes. No answer. Another day passes. Boom! Healed. Arrow prayers, sword prayers. We need both weapons, not just one or the other. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Okay, good. I think I still have you. I know it's Mother's Day.
This is a good Mother's Day.
Okay, we're going to talk about a prayer sandwich. So don't get hungry on me, because I don't think you're going to have a sandwich today. But a prayer sandwich. What is a prayer sandwich? Glad you asked me that question. Thank you very much for asking me that question. Here it is. Is anyone among you suffering? Everybody say suffering. What are you supposed to do? Pray. Okay? Is anyone happy or joyful? What should you do? Praise God. Is there anyone sick? Call for the elders, and then they pray. So, you have a prayer sandwich. Suffering is the top loaf of bread, top piece of bread, right? Sickness is the bottom piece of bread. What's in the middle? Joy. Joy is in the middle. So, the top layer is prayer. Bottom layer is prayer. Middle layer is praise God. Hallelujah. Praise to Jesus. Glory to God. Top layer is suffering. The middle layer is really nice piece of roast beef or chicken or ham or cheese or Nutella. Yeah. Oh, good for you. The bottom layer is sickness. But it's not individual prayer, it's group prayer. Did you see that if you're suffering, you deal with it with you and God. Get up there between you and God and get it out in prayer and deal with your suffering. But if you're sick, don't pray just by yourself. Get the church and get anointed and get prayed for. Gang up on the sickness. Don't try to fight it yourself. So the bottom level of the sandwich is prayer in the church. Now, when I have a roast beef sandwich, I don't call it my bread sandwich, do I? So I label the sandwich based on what's on the inside. Joy. Praise. Glory. Woo-hoo! Yeah, you're going to have some suffering bread, but it's not about the bread. If you go and it's all about the bread in your sandwich, you need to have your head examined. Sorry. I mean, don't you get like ripped? You go to a restaurant, we're going to give you the most awesome sandwich. And you get it, it's this really nice pretzel roll on top, and inside is like one slice of slimy ham. And you were like, I am so angry I paid whatever for this sandwich, right? Right? Oh, but you talk to a Christian, oh, my life, I'm suffering so much, and I'm dealing with all this. All they're talking about is the stupid bread. Come on, get into some joy when you pray. And man, Fatnet like a New York Reuben sandwich, like this thick, full of roast, you know, corn, whatever. I'm making you really hungry now. Sorry. Who cares if the bread is skinny if you've got the most awesome stuff inside? Right? And joy should always be at the heart of your prayer, regardless of your suffering. Suffering happens. Sickness happens. It happens, guys. It does. So don't like, oh, wow, I'm suffering. I'm shocked. Like it's a shock. Come on. We've all been around here long enough to know that stuff happens. It happens. Pray. Pray. And pray with some others. And you'll see God move. Amen. How do you like that prayer sandwich? Is that good? Is that good? Are you hungry now? Yeah, I am. Okay, now I'm going to talk about faith prayer and righteous prayer and Elijah prayer. So three more prayers and we'll be done. Quick. I'm going to talk fast. Here we go. Okay. Therefore, confess your sins one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man. I'm going to go back. Excuse me. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. So there is a prayer called the prayer of faith. If there's a prayer called the prayer of faith, guess what? There's such a thing as something called the prayer of unfaith or unbelief or doubt. So we have to pray the prayer of faith. It's the prayer of faith that works. It's the prayer of faith that works. And sometimes you need a group of people to get you to that place. Sometimes I need your faith for me to get healed. Come on now. Sometimes I need your faith. I know God has given me faith, you know, but sometimes I need yours too. And sometimes somebody in a room will have faith when nobody has faith. I've been there when like we're praying for somebody and like nobody's like, oh, but then someone's like, I got it. Boom. And then that happens. That happened in the Bible. The disciples were praying to deliver this boy from or wherever it was, a young lad from this demon stuff. And they says, your disciples couldn't cast it out. Jesus says, let me have him out. He had faith. Why? He said, I was fasting and praying. These guys aren't praying like they need to. He said, you better start praying on this thing. He called him a little faith. So we need to have prayer of faith. And now the prayer of faith has two components, anointing and the name of Jesus. Let me say that again. The prayer of faith has two parts, the anointing and the name of Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean you just say in Jesus' name. That means that your faith is in Jesus, not your faith in anything else. You get what I'm saying? Don't put your faith in a technique. Don't put your faith in carnal things or worldly things or the way you do a certain way. Put your faith in Jesus, and your faith is in him. If your faith is in him and he is the word of God, then you will have what you ask because you anoint. It says they will anoint them and prayer, the prayer of faith. So the anointing and the prayer of faith work together. So the prayer of faith has to have the anointing with it. Okay, so I'm going to go there quickly. We can talk about that more later. Now, the righteous prayer, the prayer of a righteous person avails much. Now, look, the word righteous person is a Jewish term for godly people and in contrast to non-believers. So you have believers or in the old days before Christ, there was the Jews. They were called the righteous. And then there were the unrighteous, the people who did not know. And so a righteous prayer, it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. That's King Jimmy. Basically, the righteous person is anyone who is a Christian. You don't have to be like a super saint to do it. The key is confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So instead of grumbling, confess your sins. Instead of confessing other people's faults, confess your faults. What a novel idea. I never would have thought of that. But it's so much more fun to confess everybody else's faults. It really is fun. Yeah, it's just so much more fun, right? It's a distraction. I mean, but no, talk about your faults and confess them in a safe place. In a safe place. And that is a foundation for forgiveness and for faith and also to be a righteous person. I'm not going to get into that. Someday I'll talk more about what that's like, but I'm going to talk about now Elijah prayers. There's three factors here for Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Can you say amen to that? We struggle, we suffer, we eat prayer sandwiches. Right? Come on now. That means the suffering, joy, suffering. That's okay. The joy is that the Lord is my strength. But there are three aspects here. It says that he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years, it did not rain. Then he prayed again, and it rained. So I want you to think Elijah prophetic praying is a binding and loosing prayer. Binding and loosing means it rains sometimes when you pray, and sometimes when you pray, it doesn't rain. You have the ability to say yes to things and no to things. You have the ability to say no. That's a binding prayer. That means you can say yes and no to things. You can bind and loose. Elijah had the ability to say no to the rain. He had the ability to say yes to the rain. He doesn't pray like a farmer, does he? I was looking at this patch. I'm going, God, this doesn't make any sense. First, you tell us you have no control over the rain, so just be patient for it to come. Then you tell us Elijah prayed and it came, and Elijah prayed again and it didn't come. Come on now, which is it? He said both. There are some times you're going to pray yourself. You're going to pray and you're going to pray, and it's going to be a farmer prayer. Praise God. It's nothing that's going to happen. But then there are times when God says, you pray right now and the rain's going to come. And you're going to have both in your life. There's binding and loosing prayer that says yes and no. And think about it.
Well, I don't believe God, who's a good God, would ever stop rain for 3.5 years. That's mean. People suffer. God wouldn't allow that to happen. He loves people.
That's exactly right. If a 3.5 year drought is going to get your tail into heaven, then my golly, he's going to give you a 3.5 year drought. Come on now. If he has to turn the heat up on us to get us to do the right thing so that we make it, we get in, he's going to do it. So don't judge God when you see stuff happen and you think, my goodness, that is terrible. Look what happened to those people. Look how they're suffering. Look at this and that. You're not God. You didn't make them. Who do you think you are telling God what to do? I could barely fix my car much. So what do you mean to think I can fix the universe? Come on now. Sometimes God will give you, I hope you never get a car that it will humble you. Because no matter what you do to try to fix it, it doesn't get fixed. That's humbling, trust me. Get another car. That's what you end up doing. You know? But we can't control things. All right. But Elijah could do it. Then look here. I call it double portion prayer. This is the second one. Binding and loosing prayer. Double portion praying. He said, the prayer of the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What it means is, it literally is in the Greek, praying, 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 praying. You praying, praying, praying. So what you're doing is that repetition of that word is that intensity that you're not just praying, man. I am in double portion prayer right now. You know, I feel like, you know, when you do things, you can kind of do it in like normal, like, okay mode. But then you can do it like with an attitude like, I'm going to just give this everything I got right now. And I'm going to do double pour. You know what I mean? I'm going to do it, man. I'm going to pray. I'm not just going to sit back and go, well, maybe I'll just pray a little bit in this prayer meeting. No, God. And you could be quiet. I'm like, oh, Lord. You don't have to be saying anything, but man, you are like pressing in with everything you got. That's Elijah. That's the double portion praying. That means I'm in turbo. I'm whatever you want to call it. You're not just sitting back going, well, God's in control. He's just going to do whatever he wants. You know, I'm just going to cruise through Christian life with all these blessings, man. And just go ride, sail right into heaven without any waves or storm. You know, you know what I'm saying? What an attitude. No, sometimes we're going to have to go for it. Like say, God, if you don't do this, we're not going to leave you alone. We're going to be banging on your door so hard in heaven. The angels are going to plead with you. Please get these people out of here because they're making such a fuss. I'm serious. There are sometimes God's going to say, you better pray with everything you got. And then there's the third kind of prayer is praying again. After you thought you did everything you could do it, God says, one more time, pray now. But Lord, I gave it. No, no, no. One more time. This is it. Do it. Prayed again and it rained. He prayed again. He renewed his prayer. And I believe that God wants to impart and add a new level of prayer in our lives. I believe that he wants to take us up to another level of praying as a church. How many of you want to come up to a better level of prayer? How many of you are sick and tired now after hearing this that you just don't want to sit in a prayer meeting and all you're doing is making the chair warm with your tail? We got to do more than just show up, folks. And it doesn't, you know, you just got to get there and go for it. And God wants to take us up to another level of prayer because we're going to see rain come and we're going to have a part in this. We're going to change nations. We're going to change things. We're going to see God do tremendous things in our lives. And it's through believing the Lord in prayer and really pressing into this kind of prayer. Passionate prayer. Patient prayer. Prayer that says, I'm running this race, you know, the last lap of any race, you get out of now your long-winded breathing and you get into your sprint breathing. And I don't know exactly when. I'm not a runner like that. I prefer sports with short bursts. Danny and I know that because we play tennis. Tennis, that's how you condition yourself. Some athletes train for long distance and some athletes train for short bursts. I prefer the short bursts. But you still have to get your cardio at a basic level, no matter what sport you do, right? Am I right? So we all have to get ourselves to a basic level. I may not be a long-distance runner like some folks, because I do like the short bursts, left and right, changing direction, power. You know, that's just my personality. It's more of my personality. I probably make a terrible farmer, okay? Okay? But that's all right. May God change our heart for prayer. Can we stand to our feet right now and let's just believe God. Let's believe God for a new level of prayer. Let's believe God for this kind of passion. Let's believe God to know how to get into that double portion anointing. You know, sometimes you just got to pray in tongues as a group of people. Sometimes it's not a matter of just one person at a time. Sometimes it's everybody praying at the same time. Sometimes it is one person. It is. But, you know, I was hearing a scripture the other day in the prayer meeting. It said, lift up your voice as they lifted up their voices in prayer. Lifting up your voice in prayer doesn't mean you're like, N-n-n-n-n-n. That's not lifting up your voice. It says in Acts chapter 2, when they were being prayed, the church got together and it says, as they lifted up their voices in prayer, they got it out. They got it out of their mouths and there was an intensity of that prayer. And I don't know what we're going to pray right now. Just pray Jesus. But we need something right now. Let's just begin right now.